up to nuance with a real sigh of relief, I hope.
What do you mean? Hello, Anya. It's so great. I like this when we do the podcast on the couch.
Our safe space.
The safest place ever.
How's it been, Mom? How's your October been?
You don't see how I've been obsessed with October. The nail polish and...
with autumn colors.
Autumn colors. But you know where I'm coming from with this.
WhatsApp stories with fondling leaves with nails. Because that's something that normally happens and coincidentally is being filmed. But, you know, it's your world.
Yes. And people just live in it.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that... I think I've said it before here about, you know, autumn and how I struggle with autumn. But... I think this is the first one that I can say there is no struggle. There was no thought of the struggle. I really appreciate autumn and the leaves and the symbolism of the season.
The dying, you know?
Yeah, but it's also about, what should I say? It's an opportunity to rejuvenate because we're going into winter to hibernate. So, I mean, I think it's good.
Have we ever left hibernation though?
I mean, 2020 kind of push everybody in a semi, you know, hibernating stage. But I'm not so sure that that's a bad thing.
Being hibernation.
Yeah, and because I mean, it's usually in that those sort of positions that you can, you know, bring your spirit into alignment much better. You don't have a lot of distractions. You don't have, you know, things that are, you know, not aligned with what is best for you.
Okay.
And it's, you know, I like slow everything. I like slow food. I like slow living. Yes, and it don't have anything to do with age. Just stop with your smirking.
No, it's just you're just like you and your constant elevate alternative lifestyle. People don't understand. You're just like the first pipsa basically who's just like, yeah.
No, but I feel like one of the things that we've said this already on the episodes about 2020 is I think it was a gift, and I am convinced of that. I remain convinced that it was a gift in the sense that, you know, we were handed the opportunity to question, and I think question what your life goals are. You know, what is really success? Is the definition that you have of success really yours, or was it something that was handed to you? What is your 9-to-5? Should your 9-to-5 be about slaving for capitalism? And if it is that what you want? It's really, you know, so.
Thank you for the woke words. I was gonna like actually trying to just segue into, okay, Mom, so what are we talking about? And like, you know, went off into the preaching.
Anyway, before you go off into what we're gonna be talking about, I want to touch on some topics that we discussed last time, right? We need to talk about the German election just a little bit, just to point out that the party that needed to have formed the major part of the government has done.
Okay, so what you actually are saying is that, like in sports, you pick the winning team, and that's what you're trying to like gloat about.
But
now.
No, I feel like there was no real winning team when you really check it, because this was basically split in half.
It was always gonna be like that, though.
But what I'm saying though is, you know, the parties that are now forming the government represent, in my mind, the best pick for the season ahead for Germany, so politically.
So it's set now that the three of them are gonna do
basically
stoplight.
And I think, okay, so maybe we should say what the stoplight is.
Stoplight is the Green Party, the SPD and the FDP,
right,
from Germany.
And that the Chancellor is looking very much like it's going to be
your
Olaf.
Friend Olaf, your best friend Olaf.
I wouldn't, what do you mean by that?
Because you're like, you know, because he eats. I don't even know what the hell. I still don't know what that means.
Anyway, I feel like it's a good look, and I think I'm wishing them all the best.
What? They got the blessing from the Queen, so they're about to be great. Well, yeah.
But you don't feel like it's a good look.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I've just, there's a part of me that is like, it's like, does it matter? but it matters, but it doesn't, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. I think it's going to be interesting to see what are the first things they're going to push, you know, put it, set into place. I think the first, some of the things that they said they want to do is like in deep discussions about, I don't even know why that's such a big thing, with the whole legalizing cannabis. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing they always keep like talking about. I was like, okay, because that is really one of the main problems that we're clearly having right now.
You know, but you know, the thing though with cannabis is, I think it is such a complicated thing, and it troubles me that countries across the world are legalizing it. Even though I come from a country where we know, obviously, we grow the best cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rastafarian community, I mean, cannabis is kind of like their spiritual medicine, right?
Yeah.
But I think something is not too quite right for people to just get up and be smoking weed all the time. I think the damages to the brain, especially for the young developing brain, is under researched. And I think pop culture and, you know, social media and the whole thing, I mean, even Hollywood, the way they portray smoking weed, it's like it's nothing. And yeah, it is not nothing, it is like some, you understand? And I feel I can see why the Rastafarians treated it with such sacredness, because I don't think that it's something that should be done recreationally.
Yeah, like taking lightly, you know.
Yeah, it's like I say, I feel like it's a spiritual medicine for them. And the idea that, you know, all of these countries are going gung-ho now and, yeah, let's do this, let's make it legal, you have to wonder if it's like it's a way to continue to dumb down the society so that they're less likely to pay close attention to what's going on.
Yeah, that thing you can also capitalize off of it, because then you're able to, you know, tax it if people start growing it and stuff.
There's this whole thing that, you know, I don't know, in Jamaica, there are lots of people who, because cannabis in the United States and in Jamaica is criminalized, in the sense that if you try to make a profit from it, or so, you can go to prison, not to mention if you're caught with certain amounts on you, right?
Yeah.
So the idea that all of a sudden the world turn around now and just like deciding that it's all good, it's very, you know, it's very troubling.
Yeah.
While you have many people in the US who are imprisoned for having...
That's the thing. If they do that, then I think then they, according to the times now, should like let off people who, you know, either had like a big doses of cannabis or were selling it.
Well, it's yet to be seen. But the question for me is like, why are governments okay right now with legalizing it? Why are they so okay with allowing large swaths of the populations of the world to have access to a drug that really, if taken too recreationally and abused, it can cause all sorts of things to happen to the brain.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. But we don't want to talk too deeply on that. So that's that. And we watched Dave Chappelle. We're talking about Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. How was it for you? Because I think you watched it like 3 times or something, right?
Don't make it seem like I was just watching it. I watched it with your father first, and then I watched it with you.
And then
I watched
it twice. Watch it again.
I would watch it a third time. I've not done so yet. But so what were your thoughts?
Well, I asked you first. You can't flip. What is this?
I mean, I think it was good. And I feel like Dave Chappelle, I feel like he should go off now. He should take a break and just go off. I don't think the world deserve him.
But I think he is.
I really feel like the world don't deserve. I think right now, just watching the aftermath and hearing, some of the comments are so weird, because it's clear people don't really watch they never watch the thing.
But are we surprised? How often do you people just like read a headline and then jump off of it without like reading the depths of what actually was the content of like the article, the movie or whatever?
Anyway, I don't know if I have anything big to say. All I have to say is that I don't think that Dave Chappelle is cancerable.
Cancelable.
That's even a word. And I think they should let it go. I mean, they should just let it go. And we can't live in a society that can't laugh at itself. And finally, what I want to say is this. if Dave Chappelle is going to laugh at black people, white people, handicapped people, gay people, straight people, I mean, straight people have been the butt of his jokes. I think that transgender people should feel included in that and be okay, because it shows that they are no longer outliers. You understand, they're part of society, and if you're a part of society, you have to allow, you have to be okay to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And them being super sensitive about it, it's just ridiculous to me.
I found that it was interesting the way how he built, it's like a trilogy, because it's just like three things that came out,
mm-hmm.
and it had, all of them had like the whole undertone of like going towards the trans mm-hmm. community, and then I think with the final one kind of giving a real view of why he was so into it, like he looked into the whole culture, was because, you know, the friend at the end of the he says, like, you know, his friend mm-hmm. his friend died, and you know how that like affected him like mm-hmm. a lot, especially knowing that she was also a comedian trying to make her way in the path and stuff, and because she stood up for her friend, the quote-unquote community she was supposed to be a part of literally teared to pieces. And you know, even though it's not like an easy subject with the whole suicide, and you can't really, you know, blame one, you know, specific thing, but you can definitely say that that fed into whatever issues she might have been having from before,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I can't only imagine like having to live a life like that, and you know, not being quote-unquote normal in a society is already has like a burden with it, and then for her to find somebody who deals with her normal, like as if she was anybody else, you know, and then just stand up for that friend, but then, you know, get beaten up for it, mm-hmm. like online. Yeah, it just there are a lot of moments these days where I feel there are different situations and scenarios where I just feel like I'm starting to question, like, you know, when we watch Black Mirror, and then like a lot of different episodes that have to do, like, it's similar. They have, you know, the one episode with like the bees and stuff, where they go to the bees, they kill the people who they have hashtag kill, so and whatever. Or like even when we were talking about I don't even know if we're really gonna talk about it, the whole Facebook Meta thing, stuff like that. It's like, I'm wondering, are we as a collective manifesting these future, this is scenarios that we're having, or are certain people, like, I don't know, even like Mark Zuckerberg, looking at those things and like implementing them and like actually making them real? You know what I mean? Like, as a collective, a human society, are we like manifesting these scenarios of like this whole over cancel culture?
And, well, obviously, whole, it's you know? I mean, if it's happening, then it's we are the cause of it. But what I'm wondering though is, at what point do we pull the brakes on it? Because I think that it's obvious to everybody that this doesn't make sense. Like, if you are not able to express how you feel, like, if you're somebody who is easily is offended by somebody else's opinion, I just feel like, I just wish that we would be able to be more evolved to understand that, all right, I don't have to agree with your opinion. I don't have to care about your opinion, but that don't mean I don't want you to exist. You know what I mean? Like, you can do what you want to do, and I can do what you want to do. And I hear myself saying that, but I know on the flip side of that is the idea that you have these extreme groups. You understand? You have the racially extreme groups. You have the sexually extreme groups who, you know, that will use the fact that somebody like Dave Chappelle said something like that as fuel for them to think that, yeah, you know, let's all not just be, what he called the woman that wrote the book again, that she's a turf.
A radical feminist or something like that.
A woman who does, basically women who are not okay with not being referred to as a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, there are people who are on the extremes who will use that as fodder and, you know, try to execute violence towards transgender people.
Yeah.
You understand? And so it's like we have to be mindful of that. But it's a really, it's a balancing act, because you have to be mindful of that, but you still can't stifle free speech and free thought. You understand? You can't stifle humor, like, the hell.
Yeah, that's the thing, or the weirdest part is, like, you can't really control it. I mean, yeah, they have, like, bad jokes or if something wasn't funny, but, like, I think just if in your track record as a comedian you've made fun of like every individual group possible, including yourself, regardless if the joke is funny or not, I think then it's like, all right, it's like humor is like super subjective. Like you can find something funny that I'm not gonna find funny or vice versa, you mm-hmm. know? And I feel like, okay, if you don't like it, don't watch it. And I feel I don't know specifically towards what, but we've talked about it already, like this constant us having to think about, like how you said, for example, now some, you know, bigots, racial, or like dumbasses who watch that go feel like, okay, yes, let's go fight that transgender. Yeah. If clearly they didn't watch it either or get what the hell he was trying to say, like Dave Chappelle in the whole thing. When did he say that or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Because what we do living in now though is the world of like we have to be careful what we say as it relates to the bigots, and we also have to be careful what we say as to the people who are super sensitive and super vulnerable in the world. And when you do those two things, you basically get squeezed in the middle, and basically nothing is going to get said. Yeah. Nobody's going to get to have an opinion. Nobody, we can't laugh at anything. It's like joy will be removed.
And also like over a big amount, like not even just with this, but just generally just high levels of over like policing mm-hmm. of what people can say and what they can do. It's almost like, all right, you're just not gonna say anything at
no all. And it's because, you know, there is this massive attempt to sanitize life, and life is such a messy thing. Like the way we are born is the messiest of everything physically. Like it's the more, you understand, and I think we are trying so super hard to sanitize everything. And once you sanitize the whatever it is you plan to sanitize out of life, you don't really have life left.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this thing recently with Mike Myers. You know, Mike Myers, the movies.
The Halloween thing where they said,
and they're saying that, you know, they don't
he's
want...
He's homophobic, we need to cancel because he killed a gay couple. I'm just like, doesn't he kill everybody? I don't think it matters. No, but
can we just talk about the fact that they've always killed straight people? Like, people who are straight heterosexuals who get killed all the time in movies, get murdered all the time. Do you hear straight people saying, no, you can't do... You can't.
Yeah, but that's crazy. The thing, though, I get it in a sense of like, okay, if it's a minority, but it also depends. That granted, I don't think I'm gonna watch this horror movie, but I feel like in horror movies,
look,
it same thing could be said, like, okay, every horror movie is a stereotype of like, oh, the black person's the first person to get killed.
Well, look, there is an argument to be made for that, but maybe I'm saying that because I am biased because I am black. But I would just talk about it amongst us and cuss about it when we're watching the show. I'm certainly not going to start a, I don't know, YouTube channel or some sort of petition to say like the people them can't make them movie because black people get killed in it. You understand? Because I know I have agency, and my agency tells me I can just not watch that. You know, and I can support, pay attention to the things that support and supports, you know, who I believe and what I believe. But we can't continue like this, and it's
exhausting, kind of.
It is exhausting, and so therefore what we're doing now. So we're not gonna talk about that. We're doing the unpopular opinions.
I had a great segue in my head to move over to that, but I was just waiting if you had anything else you wanted to mention, because I was going to be like, and on the topic of opinions, today's main segment is going to be, first of all, thanks to Reddit from r/unpopular opinions.
Okay. A great segue in.
Yeah, it's ruined. Cheers. No, thanks. Cheers. Just like, just had it all planned. Anyway, so yeah, we thought we'd have a very like, you know, I think we said that last episode we were gonna do like an unpopular opinion. So I thought it would be interesting to look online for like unpopular opinions, and we just go through them. Some of them maybe there's more of a discussion to have about them. Others is more like no. So I think the way we should do it is like I'll read it, and then you know. We say agree, disagree, discuss, and then we continue. Okay.
Are we doing this on time limit?
No, just do whichever ones are good. And
okay, because we're having a slow, long conversation, are we? God. Is that what we're doing?
A slow, long conversation. That doesn't even, isn't that oxymoron? Or what's
it
called? Yeah,
no, it actually isn't. A slow, long conversation. It's the opposite. Slow and long does not necessarily, is not opposite.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. What the hell? Something can be slow and it can be long. So you have a long conversation slowly.
r/unpopular opinions. So, One, the first one, this is for this one. Okay. Saying, quote unquote, "you are loved" to strangers online is completely useless.
What?
I thought some of them were just very, you know.
That's so mean. Like, why would you not say that? Especially if somebody, well, I don't, you know.
Watch this.
No, and because you know how sometimes there are people like, I mean, I'm not on Facebook like that anymore. But I remember sometimes.
Lies.
No, don't say
it's
that.
Changing to, okay, because it's changing to meta.
No, not because it's changing to meta. Like, I'm not on it like that. Don't even try
with
that.
The post.
Okay. There was a time though when you go, you hear somebody make a statement like, I'm going through something right now, but it's fine. Or you understand, mm-hmm. like you declare that you're in a bad place. Mm-hmm. You don't explain why you're in a bad place. You don't give any facts or nothing. You're basically just looking for attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, that is just always so disturbing because it's like, okay, but what you want? What are you giving us this information for? Right. Mm-hmm. So I can see where somebody would like feel like, okay, deal with your shit. Don't come on social media with that. I can see somebody responding in that way. But on the other hand, when somebody speaks of an experience, like, I mean, recently I was reading this thing of this young girl who was talking about having gone through, you know, rape and so on. And she was making the point in relation to women speaking out. Mm-hmm. You understand? And, you know, she kind of detailed her situation. Mm-hmm. And you heard through her words that she did genuinely don't feel like she was held with any sort of grace and love from her family. And so in that situation, I could see people writing comments that are supportive to her and sending her love and so on.
But go back to the statement saying "you are love" to strangers online is completely useless.
It's not completely useless because you might not necessarily love the person, but somebody loves them somewhere. Also, it's like, it's just like a nice thing to say.
And you don't act like you had a double take when you're first, but it's like, no, but okay.
But
so
what do you
are,
think? You think it's
no,
useless?
I think, yeah. I wouldn't say useless because I feel if somebody's really going through something and then they end up putting it on, you know, Twitter or whatever social media platform for them to then have, you know, see support and people say, you know, you're loved, you'll get through it. I think it does something for them. But of course, somebody else reading it, it's not really going to do much for them. Like, it's targeted toward the person who's commented. So I wouldn't necessarily like agree with it as such, but of course that doesn't substitute actual support in real life, like from friends or, you know, having somebody be there with you and, you know, want to talk to you. Interesting. Okay, next one. Tiny homes are not neat and quirky, it's depressing. I have to say I agree with that.
What,
like, the idea is all fun and stuff, but you really want to live in a tiny house?
Anya.
I get the whole minimalistic living, but I'm not saying you have to have like the biggest mansion ever, but like, who wants to have a kitchen / living room / bedroom / bathrooms, everything in one place? It's kind of depressing.
Look, so, I don't find it depressing, but
long
term. I will say that I was a fan of the tiny house living and the whole whole drive until I stumbled across a documentary on YouTube where they were talking about how it's all a setup for us to be working and living in a world where we take up less space, and that it's a plan from, you know, the system or the man to force us to not own anything and not own land.
Everything.
No, and not own land. And then when I watched it, I was like, but you know, there's some truth to that now, because a lot of the people who are taking off and saying, you know, they're going to live in their vans or they're going to live in some tiny home, mm-hmm. it's like they don't own any land space. So who go own all of them land space there when everybody gone live in a tiny house? And that's like, it's like a long term, if all of us were to choose to do that, we're basically giving up our rights to the planet, to the oligarchs of the world, to just like have masses of acres of lands where one or two people own.
Yeah, I must be honest, it's very, it just gives claustrophobia. I could see, like, you know, okay, for a couple of days, maybe a week, just like, haha, this is fun, but to live in a tiny house forever.
I think the concept of making your world, that everything that is in your world is of use to you, is great. I think, and if we really pare it down, if people really sit down and really check what you have in your house, how much use you have for it, I think most of us would live in smaller spaces.
Yeah, and but that for me this is specifically good. Towards like the tiny homes, you know, those very like tiny homes. So like I guess a tiny home would be like our living room or a fraction of the living room.
I think what I want to say as it relates to what I said before,
we're never going to get through all of them if you're gonna have like an essay for each
no,
one, you
it's
know
not an essay, but like I want to just sort of contradict what I said before, that if we are all going to choose to live in a tiny home, then it's meaning that we're going to give up large portions of the earth to rich few, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel like if we live in tiny homes, and that doesn't exclude us from owning land. Because you can have a big piece of land or a big
and a
big
tiny farm. House.
And then, yes, because a lot of the things that we have, a lot of the material things that we have, we think we need them, but we really don't. And all we do is contribute to what? What is your favorite non-word? Clutter.
What? What do you mean my favorite? Anyway. Okay, so you're against it. I agree.
I wouldn't say that it's depressing. I don't think that it's depressing. I think that in
you know, you're such an English teacher.
No, I don't. What you mean, though? But I don't think it's depressing. I do think that in certain contexts, it makes sense to have a small house, but you can put your house on a piece of land so you have access to green spaces.
The image of like, imagine all like an acre of land and then there's just like a tiny house.
Okay, so are you saying that the land only uses, you only need the land to bigger big house on? Like, don't say
no,
that.
No, not that,
you
but
need
like,
land space for food, you need land space for
they
grounding.
They have ratios. You know, the house, you have land, maybe you have a pool if you want that.
I think that it's possible to have a tiny house and to live a good life within it. I don't think that it's depressing. But I wouldn't want the whole of the world population. Anyway, I'm done.
Great. Like you said your statement three times, and like once again, it's like goes into, yes, we should mention that like we did the shadow working of like, or talked about like, you know, flip sides.
All right,
that being
fine,
a thing.
Fine. Go ahead.
He's like, you have to have the last word. Yes,
no.
But my statement is correct. All right, move on. So, motivational videos don't work.
I'm not gonna say not until you said, right?
I won't say they don't work, but I do feel there is the industry is everywhere, like over consumption, also in the self-care department. I think there are a lot of motivational videos. Some of them will, you know, resonate with you at certain given points, but I think if you're not willing, if you just watch a bunch of the videos and you don't genuinely try and change something in your life, then of course it's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will admit that I feel a good portion of the motivational videos is like you watch it and it's like this almost like this pseudo feeling of like, okay, wow, I'm better now. It's like, I was watching a video about that with like even a guy who was like, he read like a lot of self-help books and he was like, yeah, he's doing so much and it's so good and whatever. But then he realized after he come off of this like dopamine high of, okay, he finished the book and he did something, he didn't really change anything within his life. And I feel those videos are like almost like small doses of like heroin. Mm-hmm. So you feel like, oh, I pumped up and motivated. Yes, I'm going to start cold showers, wake up in the morning, going fit and whatever. And then it just doesn't happen.
I think the thing for me is, and we did an episode on that called Toxic Positivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can jump around all you want and say about, you know, I don't know, open your chakra, do all these things. But yeah, like you said, if you don't actually invest in doing the shadow work, putting in the practices that you need in order to change patterns of behavior, you can watch all the motivational pep videos you want, they're not gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we are at a place right now though that's what happens. It's just this very cheap chair, right? You go on Instagram or you know there's this cheap way, just like how we having the whopper cheap food with fast food, you have cheap chair as well. And I think perhaps, let's say you have an interview and you need a pep talk and you're going to go in the interview afterwards. If there's a video that works for you to get you all hyped up to do the interview, well, then great. But you can't use that for long-term things, like major changes where you have to make in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think they don't work? You would agree or disagree with the statement?
No, I can't say. I wouldn't agree that they don't work, but I wouldn't say that they are the end all and be all of, okay. You know.
All right. Informative YouTube videos are better than TV/Netflix documentaries. I'm going to straight up and say, yeah, I agree 100%. The amount of times I've watched, I feel YouTubers do a better job in terms of being, subjective about the things and also, independent. It sounds like independent. It's kind of, it is independent journalism, because these are people who have nothing really to gain necessarily financially from it. It's just like, you're in school and you have to do a presentation. It's equivalent to that for me. So it's somebody who genuinely interested in a topic, does the research and then makes a video about it and has all the citations of where you got it. So even if you feel like, you want to recheck what the person said, I respect that more, where I feel a lot of TV and Netflix and can be steered, they steer you with emotions. Not that YouTubers don't do that, but you know what I mean. So I think 100%, I think YouTube videos are more informative.
I think the thing with YouTube videos for me is that, all right, so with
about documentaries,
yeah, because I think the documentaries that I've come across on TV and on Netflix or whatever, I feel like I get a variety of experts' opinion on it, yeah. Right, and I'm not saying that that's better, right,
mm-hmm.
But it gives me a wider perspective, and
you have YouTubers and do that though,
but what I'm saying is by doing that, I am able to go do further work. I find the YouTube videos that are the documentaries and so on,
mm-hmm.
They are very, it's like a singular perspective. You understand? And you can use that to also do further research.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that. Oh my God, am I being, because I thought I was more decisive about it.
Look at that. That was always.
No, I don't. I think it's 50-50 would you say, for me. 50. Yeah.
Wow. Since now, which one have you 100% said no to? Anyway, all right. Yeah, no, I agree that informative YouTube videos are better than TV, Netflix documentaries. Because funnily enough, I've watched YouTube documentaries about specific things that then later on Netflix adopted it and had their own.
Added it. The last great documentary I watched on Netflix was that thing, the Seaspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done. I thought it was really well
People
done.
People were pissed that they didn't call it conspiracy.
Yeah, because it's hard to say
Seaspiracy. Yeah.
But I agree. I feel that was the last good Netflix documentary I watched. On YouTube, man, I think YouTube is everything, but it's also very... It's like everything you want. Like sometimes I'm on it and I feel like, okay, I have to stop. I'm watching something to do with English and teaching, and it's like you're all over the place. Yeah. At least that's how I experience
it. Yeah, because it just represents, the algorithm represents your interests. Okay, so you're 50-50 on that. All right, next one. A little fun one. There is a special place in hell reserved for those who eat salads aggressively in their cubicles during work time. I feel this sounded very loaded, and this person felt like he's been through
angry.
So
I can't relate.
I've never worked in a cubicle. No. What is that work?
What's that?
That's what you all are doing. It's that's the thing now. Yeah, no, but just in general speaking, when people eat aggressively, yes, that's a pet peeve. Like, for me, if people chew too loud, people breathe too loud, it just, it's very triggering.
Well, so Inya, I don't know if they should go to hell because of
that, but
that's so troublesome. When humans are human and you're not okay with it.
Stop acting like some superior. So just wait till we get to some good juicy ones where we go here, you're something. No,
but it's weird to me that a human being is being a human. I mean, I can get the whole sleeping thing, you know, because that can disrupt your sleep. But if somebody is chewing loudly, you can literally
you don't lose appetite. No, that's the thing. Like, if you're
imagine no, you're chewing, don't it don't bother me like that. But I see that there are people who are bothered by it. Like you don't
hear. It's like, it's just like, fast forward a couple of minutes before we started taping, this other sister started eating eating biscuits. I'm like, okay, so we're gonna wait till we start eating. And she's like, just they're smacking. Sorry for anybody who got triggered by that, because I know how annoying that is.
No, the people who are triggered by smacking are very unusual people.
How so?
Yeah, because I think, how can you be upset?
It depends. I don't know. It's some people just like trigger more than, I don't even know what it is.
Anya, how can you be triggered by a human being doing human shit?
Because you can't eat with your mouth closed.
That's different from eating. Because when you eat with your mouth, you eat with your mouth closed, but it's also very loud. We've had this discussion.
Okay, so by some, so what are we talking about? Like, anyway, no, you know what? We should talk about, oh my God, I should just insert. I would love to just like insert that clip I take of you eating those goddamn cheese balls. Like, I can't even smell them without hearing the noise of you. Just like, you just like, you're crunched out. You make sure your mouth is fully open. The crunch is like heard rooms away, and it's just like, it's like, it's like you just enjoy it.
Anya,
I think you should
go and check that out. I don't purposely do it, and if I find
that is
I'm
so,
doing
oh
it,
my God, no. That video, if you see the video, I'm gonna show you the video right afterwards. If you see the video of how you just like, yes, the salivation. I was just like, there's slow crunch to it. And I talked to Jonathan about this. Me and him both have been watching it from afar. We're just like,
Jonathan is not the one. Because you know, he eats very loud. Yes, I know, and I'm worried for him.
Yeah,
I'm
but at least he realizes it with you too. Jeez.
Anyway, I think that people should, we should stop criticizing human beings for doing human things.
Because all right,
we're
then.
Living in a world where we're going towards robotic and like, you know, I don't even know sort of computer activity. We are human beings and we're doing human things, and that's okay.
All right, then. So you are not for people that being against,
I think,
the statements.
I mean, I don't know what goes on in the mind of somebody who works in a cubicle. I can imagine that they feel very much trapped, and I feel
and
that
I'm sure it's like an echo.
Right, and that, you know, yeah, eating a salad where you're basically, your soul is dying because you're working in a cubicle.
Oh my God.
It's kind of like, no, because I can see why you can do so, because you're frustrated with your job. I'm thinking, I don't know.
But it's almost like also maybe those people who are eating salad just want everybody to like, oh my God, look at me, I'm eating a salad.
That too. Oh, which can be, and that's annoying.
Maybe
just
maybe
for
if
itself.
They purposely do it, maybe they should be, you know, Lucifer might give him a shout out. That's like a,
it's so weird because people sit in their cubicles and eat a salad loudly to show that they're eating a salad. And when they take a break, but then when they take a break, they go outside and smoke like four cigarettes.
Of course.
So it's like, yeah.
All right. This is an interesting one. People who call themselves quote unquote empaths are annoying and not actually great listeners.
Yeah.
What do you feel, Mom? Would you consider yourself an empath?
No. When I first read it and I was like, oh yeah, there are some things that I resonated with me. Like, I felt like, okay, I see that happening with me. I see that. But when I started to, like, the people who classify themselves as empaths, I don't want to be like, yeah. They're very much.
For me, it goes into the whole thing of like, you know, when people always have to, I know you don't like people like that, but people who always have to tell you about the things they've done or things they have to deal with, like, jokingly, the whole like, oh my God, my anxiety, or you know, oh, you know, this and I've achieved this and this. Like, it's like over the top. It's almost like, oh my, look at me, I'm an empath, like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm such a great listener and so
I
stuff
feel
like that
everything.
It's like when somebody says like, I'm a nice person, you don't need to say you're a nice person. If you're a nice person, I'll notice that, you know.
I think there are some people who are very highly sensitive, and I think the world that we're living in created people who are so traumatized that their sensitivity is even more heightened. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be confused with somebody who is super sensitive to things, doesn't necessarily mean that they're highly evolved. It could mean like they've been traumatized and they need to, like, you know, get therapy and get, you know, some sort of healing. Yeah, but I think to do that, to say I am an empath,
yeah, I think that's, yeah, the kind of people weird. Who, like, when they introduce themselves, like, hi, I'm this and this, and like, I'm an empath, I'm a Gemini.
But you know, what that though, you see what we said a while ago, what you with the people eating, I think when people
we're not supposed to judge people. Yes, let's see.
Seriously, classifying yourself as an empath is kind of like a radical way of saying I am a human, because we live in a world now where so many people, like I said, are very robotic and they don't want humans to be human. So that when somebody is actually feeling, now we have to have a whole classification for them, when it was really just being human.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think, you agree or you disagree with the statement?
I think that there are genuine people out there who are super sensitive to energy and can pick stuff up. But okay. I would not say that they're annoying to me, genuine ones.
I think if people, you know, use that as their personality trait, just like how they would, you know, I don't know, any kind of other belief.
Or declare that, you know, I'm homosexual, yeah, or I'm transgender. Like, why are you telling me this? This is the first thing you tell me about your personality, your sexuality.
But if it is, anything, it's like, that's not what I meant. I meant more just like this, like, over telling, like, if we say it once, fine. But like, it's like if you over attach yourself to a certain thing over and over again, and then like,
they identify with,
yeah, it. It's like you're over.
But what's wrong with doing that though? What is the thing that you identify with?
Because
it's most?
For me, it gives off sometimes, like, if somebody would always have to, like, oh, I'm an empath and stuff like that, like, it would almost feel like, all right, you're trying to convince yourself, like, by repeating it.
Yeah,
you know?
But what is the thing that you highly identify with? So I highly identify with loving to read, and you make me feel awful about it all the time. But I don't feel bad, because I do like reading, and I happily say it, just because I'm thinking the person I'm telling might say to me, yeah, I like reading too, and then we become fast friends. So what's the thing you identify with?
I don't try to stick onto labels.
See, that's it.
That's the answer.
Okay, go.
Okay. This one is interesting. All right. Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone is a terrible song. I think I just have that one phrase in my head, like, of the part,
you know,
of
the song.
Yeah, kind of.
Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
Do you feel it's a terrible song?
I mean, it's art. They're basically using metaphor or whatever to say, look, this person means a lot to me, and when they're not around, I don't feel great.
I think terrible is a very harsh word to use. And I think, like, the melody is nice.
But I think, is it just the line or is the entire song? Because I don't think
It just says, quote unquote, ain't no sunshine when she's gone, unquote, is a terrible song.
Okay, so it's the entire song.
Yeah, it's the whole song.
I don't remember all the words, but it's just a man talking about when his girl is gone.
Yeah, I think that seemed like somebody was going through something. A lot of them, like, was somebody was going through, you know, feel like somebody just hurt this person, and that's why they're just, like, going against it.
And also why we can't just be able to say how we really feel in the moment. We don't have to hide. If you love somebody and they go away from you, if you take a picture of how you're feeling right then and there, mm-hmm, it is like there is no sunshine. So what's wrong with that? We're just naming how you're feeling.
Hell, yeah. All right. People who put themselves in danger for absolutely no reason at all, other than for, quote unquote, a sense of accomplishment or the sake of art, deserve to die in the process. No pity or anything.
Wait, what?
I thought it was very grim. People who put themselves in danger for absolutely no reason at all, other than for, quote unquote, a sense of accomplishment or, quote unquote, the sake of art, deserve to die in the process. No pity or anything. It's like if you do anything that could, like, endanger you in some kind of way. It's like, I don't know, they have, like, you know, YouTube pranksters, or when they have those people.
No, but it did specifically say art though.
Other than, okay, yeah.
So I feel like when I jumped out of the plane.
Oh God, yes. See, that's another.
I felt that I was putting my life in my own hands, and I wanted to experience free fall. I also wanted to have the experience of facing the fear of doing something that I was scared of. And, yeah. And I feel like had I died when I did that, then that would have been weird. But yeah, it would have been what it was.
But wait, you're doing that is a sense of accomplishment then.
I do feel like it's a sense of, so for then me, that doesn't it's a count. Personal thing for me to know that I faced the fear of something like that. And I went through it and it felt good. I felt empowered by it. But when it says art,
yeah, I feel so this is example, targeted more towards like adrenaline junkies who just like go out. Or like maybe
the magician guy, you know, that magician guy that goes underwater and he stays.
Couldn't you say that's art, a form of art, I guess?
What?
When magic.
Right. I think so. I don't understand when people do that. But I wouldn't wish them death on them. I wouldn't wish death on them. Like, the hell? If they want, because I feel like it also aids in our knowledge about what human beings can endure. You know, yeah. If somebody does that, and like, what's his name again? What's his name?
Who the one from?
There's this guy, man, and him always like he goes under the water and he's emerged underwater.
Yeah, the magician guy. I don't know.
David Blaine. No, yeah, David Blaine is also a magician, but there's this other one.
Yeah.
No, I feel like those sort of things. If he's prepared to put his life in his hands like that, then I respect that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I accept that he's intelligent enough to know that he's risking his life so that if God forbid something happens, then he would have known the risk and that he was taking. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't feel good that he died, but I wouldn't feel bad either, because I would be like, okay, so he knew what he was doing. And I would celebrate him if he made it. Exactly.
I don't know. I feel like this is more towards like adrenaline junkies, people who just do stuff, but also I feel people who constantly have to seek adrenaline, either something is chemically not stable in their brain, or maybe they're going through some kind of trauma, and that's their way of like, you know, it's rough, but you know, some people that just end it all. Mm-hmm. What they do is just like, it's like they re-shock themselves, like, you know, when they get the electric shock on your chest to like reawake
yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think wishing death on anybody is pretty, I don't know, crass.
Yeah, and why? It's like, just like why? A lot of energy. It's, yeah, you just like, it's
okay.
It's not that deep.
All right. With the exception of wall art and closed display cases, having purely decorative items in your house is asinine.
I find that to be so judgy. Why would I leave people alone? Like, if they want to live in a tiny house.
You
know, it's funny,
the things you find judgy are the things that, you know, they're targeting towards you.
What do you mean?
Because you like decor and like a lot of decor stuff.
Decor, no. Yes. I like plants. And I mean, functional things. I don't have anything that is not useful in some way or beautiful to look at. I like my paintings that are, yeah. So, what do you mean?
I think there's a level towards it. They have this meme page, this German meme page, where they make fun of German people, where they'll have like these weird kind of like decoration things, and also these really weird, like supposed to be funny quotes, but they're not really funny. And some people like overdo it with the whole decorating, and it just look very, I don't know, but I guess I also feel like, all right, it's the person's house. They can do what they want to do. Like, if they want to put stuff in
this
there.
This is the unpopular opinion I have.
Yeah.
People who have, like, you know, cat figurines. And,
oh, God,
and
yes, fish. Like the place where we went.
You know, that thing there was on the Sopranos, there was this clock with this fish on it, where when there was an hour struck, the fish would, like, dance.
Mm-hmm.
A clock, you know. Yeah. Like, stuff like that is just like, no. But then I don't business, it's not my house. Yeah, understand? So true. Do what you want to do.
All right. Adele has shown zero creative growth since her first album.
What?
Here comes that trigger. That was an unpopular opinion. Do you feel her music is different though every time?
What?
This one seems like it's a target.
Look, I love Adele.
First of all,
she said that she's doing 21. What she did.
She did Believe in Trilogies, but it's right, the fourth so one did, go come out now.
But she did. All her albums are just a flashpoint in her life, what she's dealing with. I don't see nothing wrong with that. And she not owe like anybody. She don't owe anybody no growth. You understand? She owe herself. And I think this last album, I can't wait for it to come out, where she says that it's basically an album to give to her son to explain why she leave him father. I don't feel like she don't owe us anything. I mean, she has a really lovely, powerful voice, and if she chooses to do what she needs to do, who are we to talk about her growth?
You know, I think, but with creative growth, especially when it comes to the music industry, I think they mean more in the terms of, like, for example, people like DaBaby, or so, like, all the songs sound the same, like with the beat. But of course,
Do you feel like Adele's all her songs sound the same? I mean,
all her songs, of course, are in the same like genre of the way, like the melody. Like, you see, for example, they have artists like, you know, Kanye or Kendrick Lamar and stuff, who they switch up like the beat.
Look here, man. People want too much from artists. Go find more magic in your own damn life.
You know, you expect an album. She's not. I am indecisive about this one.
Yes, I'm very triggered by this. Because like, you want an artist to just decide to make sparkle for you. Find your own damn sparkle in your life and variation and growth. They don't owe us anything, and we should just be grateful that them do music and them do have good voice. Don't let us talk about DaBaby and the whole rap community right now. It's just a collision course. But yeah, no, I disagree with that 100%. And even though, you know, I'm not a big fan of Beyonce, I feel like when you look even at Beyonce's albums,
yeah, but she have creative, she's changed up, yeah, her style,
she changed up. But this is the thing, right? I mean, even though she changed up, did she change up because she genuinely grew, or was it because it was a strategic marketing thing?
Yeah, but either way, I don't think it's right or wrong.
But that's the thing though, Inya. That's the thing for me. When I look, like, for example, if I were to compare Adele with Beyonce, it's like, I feel like with Beyonce, I'm not quite sure.
You think she's following trends?
Yeah, I think that, especially the whole trend where she go on with the whole Black Lives Matter thing. And you know, we talk about the album Black is King. Mm. Like, I feel like she did that because she felt like, okay, this is the moment of doing it and so on. Yeah. No, that don't take away from the fact that there were some really, really good songs that she put out. You understand?
Yeah.
I don't trust an artist who follow trends. And I feel like that's the thing with Adele. Like, Adele is literally talking about what's going on in her life at various stages.
There was just a stage, pop up and leave.
Yeah, and she go about her business. Yeah. It's like basically it's a musical diary that she has created with her music, yeah, to kind of give. And perhaps we think we are the ones that she's doing it for, but ultimately it's for her children or her son, if she now have no more children, mm, that she can see, oh, what was mommy going through this time at this point in her life. Mm. I think with Beyonce was
just like how with any situations you find a segue to just go talk about, yeah, your best friend Beyonce.
No, me no want to that because she do her thing. But I feel that we should not be so demanding on our artists. You understand? Because they don't owe us anything. Really and truly, as human beings, we all should be doing our own art. Mm-hmm. You understand me? What is the thing that you are creating? Focus the fuck on that. And don't try to tell people who are actually doing something what or how they should do it. That's my view.
Mic dropped.
True.
Yeah, I think they have some artists. I say, like, I think it's a two-way street with some artists, or just generally with any type of entertainment. It's either you have a formula that works for you and you continue to use it, and other people add stuff to change it up. And I think if you find a formula, like for example Adele's music, yeah, a lot of them, they could all be within the same album and it would all still work together. Whereas where, for example, like if you listen to, like, I really like Kendrick Lamar, but like a lot of the songs you can hear each album is a specific type of sound, mm-hmm, and you co-mixing it, you would realize there's a difference, like time difference, and you know, something there. So I think, you know, it depends how, as an artist, how you
look, and that's what I'm yourself saying. I think it's fine. I mean, I think it's fine. Kendrick Lamar, Beyonce, Adele, Rihanna, everybody, you can do what you want, mm-hmm, right? My problem is this. I think if the audience is going to want to demand a specific sort of art from their artist, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You understand? Because the very nature of art is that this is a person who took the time, right? To disassociate from society and the 9-to-5 and the rat wheel, and come up with something that matters to them first and foremost,
yeah.
And then it was useful for the population.
Yeah.
I have zero respect, and also I feel the credibility of any artist who feels the need to work with the trends and feel the need to create based off what, you know, they think is hot. Like, that for me is just awful.
Mm-hmm. I think that I just came up with my own unpopular opinion. I don't know if you recently heard about the news that, you know, they have like Twitch streamers, so people who like live stream on Twitch.
So yes, I don't know what Twitch is.
It's basically, you know how like on YouTube people can go live and like they have like live conversations. That's like just the essence of Twitch, that you always mm-hmm. have like live content. And there was a leak recently where the like some whole heap of company transactions and stuff were like leaked on, I think, like 4chan or one of them internet sites. Mm-hmm. And what was leaked was like how much money the people make, like the individual creators, and what they live off of, just like how on YouTube live and stuff, is that they live off of like donations, people buying merch, people subscribing and like purchasing a subscription, and then they get like monthly. And then for them to find out that like a lot of the top streamers, they get like $3-4-5 million. That's like how much they're getting. Mm-hmm. And then there was the unpopular opinion is, are people like for example creators obligated to let you also know about the bad sides, like the struggles that they dealt with? Because that's what they say, what they realize with a lot of people who they are like, the majority of the audience that's like pissed off with them finding out about like, oh, you know, they make so much money, is like they feel that they make it look like it's too easy, and by mm-hmm. them not actually mentioning, okay, how much they had to like work for it, or when things didn't work out. That is basically, as I was saying, the thing is like, do you think people, specifically like the internet eras, are they obligated to talk about their like downfalls and their like struggles that they deal with to justify, or you know, be able for the public to accept their success in terms of like how much money they make and, you know, the houses that they buy and whatever? Because there's this one guy called Hassan, he is I think he's like a liberal or whatever, but he has like, he talks, like, he comments on like a lot of different things. I was like the politics in America, and he's like Turkish, I think, and he lives in America. And even when it came out that he bought one like $4-5 million house or whatever, people were just like, yeah, but he's like so for like giving back the money, that they feel like, you know, the way his beliefs and what he talks about, he should give back the money, and like he should, you know, donate the same amount to like back into the community, if he's always like up and about like, you know, community and stuff like that. For him to do that, it's kind of contradicting. So do you feel that those people are, and they have an obligation to talk about their struggles?
I think this is the issue why the question about the documentaries on Netflix versus YouTube is weird, because I think we have a sort of we have a proximity to the YouTubers that we don't have with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the going ons about, you know, what happened, how you produce a feature, how you do a documentary, all the people who are involved. I think when we watch YouTube, though, we sit down with one person, and we know, we imagine in our head that that's the one person who sit down and do all the work, or, you know, did all the mm-hmm. research. So it's like we feel more close to them and feel like, oh yeah, we're doing this together, when we're really not, you know. And personally, it don't matter to me. It really doesn't, because mm-hmm. if you have good content and you put it out, I'm going to consume. I'm going to see what makes sense. I'm going to, let me always say, eat the meat and throw the bone.
So you don't think they should be obligated?
No, I don't think they necessarily have to be. But then on the other hand, I know though that like, all right, it depends on what is your platform. So for example, don't talk to me about relationships if you are just having a shit life and you don't have no relationship to speak mm-hmm. of. Don't talk to me about skincare if we're looking at pimples night and day and blackheads on your head and your face. No, seriously, like there has to be a sort of authenticity that is running through.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're talking to people about financial health or something like that, and you are doing well, or even for example, people who do just general vlogging of their life. If and because they're doing it so consistently, they get the money from YouTube or whatever, and they're able to get sponsorship and so on.
Yeah,
good for them. I know deep down though that it can be a good way to live, because I personally don't feel like I could sell my life like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're working for them, fine, and if they have content that is useful to me, I'll pay attention a bit. But I just feel like the audience, we've become so demanding and we are so lazy. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's like we want to be entertained and to be informed on a consistent basis. And, you know, we want it our way all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think, again, just like artists, I don't think anybody owe anybody no obligation that kind of way. Unless it's your child. Like, you understand? It's your moral obligation to take care of your children. Do that. But outside of that, what do you mean? You want somebody to come and talk to you and tell you how they make the money and all of that? No.
Yeah, well, I do agree that it shouldn't be like an obligation. I do see though that can make your life easier, and I feel the principle.
What do you mean?
In terms of like letting people know about like, okay, it's not like this thing just come easy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I believe just like with relationships or other thing, it's more about private than keeping it secret. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't hide the fact that you have struggling, but to what extent you tell the people about like what you're struggling about should be like up to you, what you want to do. But
exactly,
I do find it, you know, when even going back to the one of the other statements with the whole motivational growth, like I think that is like something that also is like, it can weigh down on you. I can imagine if you watch stuff like that and you feel like, how come that person like have it all together, they have no issue or something like that. And I mean, I think if it took like 2 minutes to just think about it, like of course the person has issues that they have to deal with, they're just probably just not talking about it. But I can get it, like if you're in a bad state yourself and you kind of just feel, but also it's not right for you to have like, it's kind of entitlement to feel like, okay, you have to know about like what's bad. Because
bad mind is real.
Yeah.
And if you're not, your life isn't progressing as you think it should, and you see somebody else's is progressing, well, and then especially because you've invested so much of your time and energy watching them. And you know that it's because of you're watching them, why they may be, it's like you feel like you own them.
Yeah.
So,
and that's why they say also it was a YouTuber who was commenting on the whole situation. What he said was interesting is that the issue is people who watch YouTube think it's just about you turn on a camera and you're talking. They don't see the creative process that goes behind it. So from sketching out the idea, mm-hmm. writing a script, actually taping it, redoing it, editing it, putting it, all sorts of stuff like that. Like there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And like even if you listen to it, you think, oh, that's not so much. But like if you would try to do something like that, and then to the consistency and the level that they do, or some of them, like even on Twitch, like they stream like almost like every day to reach to the state that they are at now, or no, they can't be like, all right, they stream like once a week and so, because they reach a state of like comfort. But there's a lot of hustle that goes into that part.
Yeah. And I think the thing though, you know, Enya, is that you see, when you invite people into your home and you let them see you at not your best.
Yeah.
So, because I know, like, there are some YouTubers who just, like, they're chilling and they're talking on the camera. And, like, them, what you're doing is that you're creating an emotional bond with your audience.
Yeah.
And if you've created that bond, it's only because you've created that bond why they can be so demanding and so full of entitlement about what they can and should be hearing from you.
Yeah.
Whereas like if we go to flip back to the whole Netflix thing, the television and the fact that there's a whole production staff behind it. We made that assumption, you know, but we don't feel entitled to know everybody business. Mm. But when you as the YouTuber put your face out there and do all of that, we can see why people would want to say, "Ah, you need to tell us, or you know, what's going on, and you make us invested." But again, I believe in personal responsibility, and I don't think that just because you're consuming people's content that you own them soul. Like, come on.
Yeah. All right. So that's one last one. It's a very short one. Some people deserve to be ghosted.
Yes. See, I knew there would be one that I would be totally decisive on.
How so, ma'am? Who are these people who deserve to be ghosted? I better really pray that I'm not on that list of you.
How would you be on that list? Just that you would ask the question is troubling.
What classifies a person for you who deserves to be ghosted?
Yeah, there's just some people who you grow out of them, or them grow out of you.
But isn't that they don't mean, serve how no would you feel if you get ghosted, though?
I've been ghosted. I have a very, very good friend who I felt like we were friends, and she moved locations like I did as well, and yeah, we just never got back to be friends. I mean, in any kind of serious way. And I miss her sometimes. And it's not like we're not talking, because, you know, sometimes when things will happen, she'll text me or I'll text her.
Yeah.
But I know, yeah, but I recognize that once she made her move, that she might be dealing with a lot of things, like I was dealing with a lot of things as well. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, I gave, at the beginning, I was very, it really made me miserable, because I was like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I spoke to her about it, and she was like, what do you mean? No, man, it's nothing, you know? And then over time, because I was also busy as well, I recognized, okay, so yeah, that's just how our relationship is now. And now I'm at a place where I'm okay. Like, I give her grace. I just know, okay, you have people dealing with things in their everyday life, and when you really move and go to live in a whole other country, because I've experienced that, I know what it feels like. Like, you really have to, you have to kind of quiet down and make sure you make your roots and your home within yourself and within your family, and make sure those roots are healthy and strong. Mm-hmm. And that takes up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I never feel like I 100% would say that she ghosted, but I don't ghosted me, but I don't feel that I'm upset with her about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can understand if somebody feels upset about being ghosted, because I think I've ghosted people who feel upset about it, but then just have to deal with that.
And sometimes tough life, right?
Well, you think
WhatsApp status is limited. Not everybody gets access.
Anyway.
I don't feel like they have specific people that should be just periodically ghosted, if you take it like literal.
What do you mean by periodically though? Because that's
like,
the
for
thing.
Example, this a specific
when I ghost
type
you, there
of
is
person.
No coming back, you know. It's a
no, but like
period.
No, I mean like a specific type of person, you know, like, you know, like of the not. I'm not talking about like you're talking about like the connection between like you and your friend, like you ghost each other, but it's not like you would. It's not the person's gonna just be ghosted by everybody, or should be ghosted by everybody. That's what I mean, like, you know.
I have no control over how people go treat them. Like, me not
anyway,
have no.
Moving on.
No, but no, we can't move on because we're not done. Answer the question.
That's how I was gonna go on to move
okay,
on.
Okay, okay.
So I do feel there are situations where a conversation definitely can be like ghosted and just like left unread, because like, what is the point? Especially if it's like, I don't know, they have some conversations where, you know, all right, this isn't going anywhere, like there's no point, so might as well just like end it. Or as something that's, you know, well known is, for example, like in even though it's not great, it's not the nicest feeling when that happens, like for example, like, you know, in like dating apps, and when you have like, you're talking to people and stuff, but sometimes it's just not there anymore, and it's just like, all right, you move on.
Have you been ghosted?
Yeah, I've ghosted, and I've been ghosted.
Right. So why we make it, first of all, I don't even know why we came up with this term ghosted.
Yeah, like, I think it does literally ghost
you,
like
stop talk to the people, like sometimes that has happened.
But it's also kind of rough, because wouldn't you like, you think about sometimes where you've been ghosted. I think what a lot of people have issue with is that they didn't get closure, like they didn't know why.
Again,
you know?
I don't think we're entitled to anything.
It
and
depends
I
on the
think,
situation,
I
though.
Think, all right, so for example, in the situation where I feel like I would use the word ghosted to say, I was able to look at the situation for myself and figure out, say, okay, because it wasn't like she wasn't talking to me. It wasn't like she would.
Yeah, but then that's not ghosted then. Yeah, that's not really like.
Yeah, but still, I mean, when you consider that we would have conversations throughout the day, and we for years we were like, we worked together and all of that. I think maybe I don't have the right definition of what.
Yeah, ghosted is just somebody that's like, stop texting you. Like, they don't, you don't get no answer. And then maybe if you see the person, or if you have to retext the person, maybe they answer. But ghosting is like, they just stop talking to you. A conversation just end.
But see, that's the thing. Because like, if that happens, my concern is like, oh my God, did you die? What happened?
Assume the worst then, I guess.
I have to, because I can't imagine why you just...
like, why would you not want to talk to me? Like, I'm a mess type of person to be texting with.
And
like,
that's the thing.
Are
so
you
like,
okay?
If that happens, and then I see, oh, and if the person don't respond to that, but that's because, you know, with texting, you can't see if this person read the thing. So, yeah. You know, okay, so they're not dead. Then I would just, oh, so you're not dead. You're just not talking to me. That's fine. And then they would not hear from me ever again. What?
Into that's fine, F you and die.
No.
Basically,
no,
that's what
no.
I'm just like.
I don't know. I don't wish no death on nobody. But like, I think my my go to thing, if somebody not respond, my obviously, oh my God, I want if something happened to them. I
guess so. That fits with your whole fairy thing. Like, I could never, because this must something happen that no, not answer me. They could, no. Who dare not no, answer Anya, me?
But answer me. You feel like, so when somebody goes to you, you just automatically assume that.
And
that
person probably just no answer, or they just like forgot to answer. It's like, no, alright then. And I move on.
No, I when somebody don't answer me, the first thing I start to think is, oh my God, if you're okay. I wonder if
they're sounds comedic, like you're purposely doing that to make yourself just like not kind of feel no way. Because normal people, when they get ghosted, they're like, okay, did I say something? Like, is this maybe something I said? And you're just
no.
Like, that person must have died.
No, I didn't say they must have died. But I
yes,
think
clearly
the
something
first
must have
thing
happened.
Is
like,
must happen. Yeah.
An accident is basically death then. Like, close to death.
Or maybe in the hospital and their phone just not work. That's my first thought. And then I'm like, okay, so what? Because I think
you're
I am
injured.
Very much
you're injured. That's what you can answer, right? You're in a medical situation.
No,
critical, right?
If it comes to the point where I realize, oh, so the person. Because I don't think I've really had that situation happen.
All
to
of
me.
A sudden, the way you're language. Contradicting yourself, like, yeah, I've ghosted and I've been ghosted now. Come on, lo and behold, it's like, I haven't actually ever been ghosted before, you know?
No, like, because the one that I can really honestly say to is what I said, my friend, right? But then
that's
it's like,
pure,
it's, I don't think it would qualify as ghosting if, like,
full on.
Because she, you're like, she'll text me when there's something happening, if something happened, like
it's
in Jamaica. And so, but it's
know,
a space, exactly. It's a very long space. Chat, but when it feels like ghosting to me because of the bond that we had before,
yeah,
you understand, and how regularly we would speak and about how many different things we would talk about, right? But I can honestly tell you, like, if somebody was planning to ghost me, they would have to be very specific about it.
It's like, dear Barbara, I am ghosting you.
You're like, oh, and then it would register
archive.
right, and then I would archive. But it would
Sir,
it,
all her
the
chats
first
go to
no
die
honestly
in archive.
the first thing that I think about would not be like, oh my God, the person is ghosting me. No, I would like
you see how you have, I don't know, maglomania somewhere.
Is it maglomania?
Most people who, like, if somebody don't text you first, like, okay, you recheck, what did I just send? So then you just like, they must be in an accident. You don't even like yes you did.
I said
you don't even
happened.
Like consider like
no,
okay,
I said something
what
must
is
have
what
happened.
You could have done. Yes, something completely like you separate yourself from the situation. It's like, this must be this person or something to do with. That's what I'm just trying to, like,
I said
as we
something.
Said as a family, this is an ecosystem. We point out things like you and your fairy behavior. I hope one day you can make like a full-on episode on like you and your fairy behavior, of course keeping you know, certain situations on the down low, because like, everything
listen,
has to be out. But
let us be clear, I'm saying when I say something must have happened, it runs the gamut. It could be
you don't hear yourself. The first thing, if somebody doesn't text you, like, is you automatically assume, oh, an accident.
No.
That's
I said something must have happened and it runs the gamut. So it could be, okay, something happened from the phone running out of battery, or
yeah,
they just forget, or the person
completely...
no, hold on. Or the person forgot, or whatever.
I'm just saying you detaching yourself
death,
from
like...
it. Yes. When do you bring yourself into, like, okay, maybe you, when
do
you check
bring yourself in it so quickly?
Because you're part of the conversation.
No, that is the problem with today's generation, that they put themselves in the problem.
Maybe that's the problem of your generation. You're just so detached from it. It's like, it could never be me. It could not be me causing this issue. It's like,
no,
oh, you know.
But if somebody were to say, like, stop texting me, and then I realize, like I said to you, it's no lie.
You need
it's
someone to tell
I
you.
I would, yeah, she would really need to be specific.
Like, for somebody who always talk about emotional intelligence, that's really emotionally unintelligent. But you to be able to, like, you can't imagine, like, depending, all right, this is very, like, vague or whatever, but like, if you text something somebody, you don't like reread your text and feel like, all right, could this have been misinterpreted, or could this have been, like, thought? And maybe it's an overanalyst, like, overthinking me, maybe, I don't know, maybe I need to reach your level of, like,
don't
you
say
know
it like that, Anya. It's like, I don't think that the people who I text with, if I text somebody and they don't respond, my, like, honest to God, my immediate thought is not, oh my God, did I say something wrong? Why are they not texting me? I don't immediately think that.
You don't question that about yourself.
I think, No, but you're talking about it now, so I guess you want me to question it or something. No, I'm just saying, I don't, because I look at it like
I don't really care.
No, it's not that I don't care, but my first thought is not to jump to, oh my god, did I do something wrong? I don't know. I don't. But okay, then I think that it's important to just point out that it's not that I'm saying that I couldn't do anything wrong, right? But I'm thinking, if somebody is upset with me, because I know when I'm upset with somebody, I don't do that. You understand?
Yeah, I will
write an angry text. And the people who I've ghosted, if they're really honest, and these are the texts that I read back for sure. When I decide, like, you know what, I'm cutting this person out. Mm-hmm. I'm archiving them. I usually go through it to make sure that, all right, did I say something that was shit? Did the person misinterpret me? Have I said something that really should not have been said that way? How many times did I clarify myself so that, you understand? Mm-hmm. So those are the texts that I will read. Like, I'll go through it and like think, okay. And then once I decide, like, okay, that's it, then it's archive and I'm done. But but seriously, Enya, if somebody doesn't respond to my text, and they don't specifically tell me, like, look, I'm done, we're not talking no more, I'm ghosting you, I will be like, I'll give them a day or two and then I'll text back, you good? What do you think about what I said a while ago? Or, you know, I just continue another conversation unless they tell me.
I don't know, there's something very weird about that. I don't know. It's just, there's just something.
So how do you deal with that?
As I said, like, I think, as I said, you can see that's good or bad, but I know I'm very somebody who's like, especially like, I realize, okay, so I text somebody and a person answer back. Like, either, okay, for example, I'll first look into it. Like, if I see, okay, the person read the message or something, mm-hmm. and then there's no response, especially if it was like a question is involved in the, you know, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, okay, I reread what I said, like, generate a conversation. It's like, okay, and depending if it's like, something that was important to me, like, I'll read like double text and just be like, okay, so hey, so like, I need to know this, like, or whatever,
right.
But if not, then I will be like, okay, that's kind of weird. But I think I'll try and like, it also depends, like, if you can see the person in real life, you'd probably ask the person, like, yo, what you know, what's going on, even though it's weird. But I find it so fascinating. It's like, get to learn more and more sides about you,
whatever,
like,
Enya,
and how it reflects. Would you say you feel like you're a reflective person?
Well, of course. I mean, that's my kryptonite, that I reflect too much. Uh-huh. Like, the thing for me, and like I said, if somebody is somebody, I sent you a text and you read it and I saw that you read it and you didn't respond. If there's a question that was there in my final text that, like you said a while ago, you need an answer on, mm-hmm. I'll text again. And if the person don't answer, I'll text again. I'm like, okay, you didn't answer. What's going on?
Yeah.
And if when I ask what's going on and I see the person they read the text and then they don't answer, then I'm like, okay, that's the first signal for me that, okay, something is off here. And then I will just not respond, depending on the relationship that I have with the person and depending mm-hmm. where I think the person is. Like, I don't know, if the person is traveling, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I want to have something happen to them. Right? So once I clear that out of the way, mm-hmm. right, depending on how close, and I can't think about that I've ever been in a situation where like that happened.
Yeah.
As this one person who I told you that I felt like I felt like that if ghosting is what I think it is, I felt like that she ghosted our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's not to say that she don't answer my texts when I text her, when she texts me. But the regularity of it significantly cut.
It's like a change.
It's absolutely.
Okay.
But I don't think that I think that if, like I said, right. So I'll say, is something, you okay? Everything
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get a response from that, then I'm just, you are archived for me. Like, I'm done.
Fascinating.
What you make it so sound so?
I don't know. It's like, it's funny thing is like, that's the one that we take up the most time talking about, the whole texting thing, because it's such like arbitrary, but I think people have like different ways how they maneuver, you know, their communication.
And look here, let me tell you, I try to be as honest with myself, brutally honest with myself, as I am with people, right? Yeah. So I'm assuming that that's what people will do to me, but may also accept that that sometimes doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So like, if I say something that offends somebody and I expect them to say, look man, what you mean? You understand? And then we go back and forth. And if I need to apologize, I apologize. But I am not going to assume that because you don't respond to my text, I must have done something. Like, no. I'm not going to take on that. Like, life is already heavy. I'm not taking on that.
Life is already heavy. All right. Well, thank you, Mom, for being a part of this. I think this could be a fun, like, aside.
Anyway, I was hoping that you'd ask questions like more pop questions, like, so we could have fight.
Well, this is a beginning. I think this could be like an interesting, like, side segment where we have like main, like, short, maybe even like short episodes where we just talk about these kind of unpopular opinions.
All right, Ina.
But thank you for taking a part.
Why are you telling me thanks for taking part in my own podcast?
In your podcast. I thought this was our podcast.
Well, those, you know what I mean. But
clearly, that's not what you said. What you mean and what you said are two different things, ma'am.
Anyway, like, look, I want to just say that book that I'm attempting to read, which is a very difficult book, is called The Human Condition, the second edition, and it's by Hannah Arendt. She's a German author, and the book, basically, I'm going to read it back. It says, a work of striking originality, The Human Condition is in many respects more relevant now than when it first appeared in 1958. The problems the author identified then, diminishing human agency and political freedom, the paradox that as human powers increase through technological and humanistic inquiry, we are less equipped to control the consequences of our actions, continue to confound us today. And it just goes to talk about, there's this one point, one of the reasons why I'm so wanting to read it is because she makes a comparison between work and labor, mm-hmm. where she says basically work is something that was created by man, whereas labor is something that women experience, and that labor results in things that have life sustaining qualities. And work, the things that we produce and what we get from working, mm-hmm. are short-lived and basically destroys the environment. That's just one of the points I read in the book so far that I thought was a very interesting thing about, you know, the differentiation between the words work and labor and how she gendered the two words. Yeah. And that basically that men are desperate to find... Like, men are desperate to find something that they can produce that can compare to the labor that women labor when they give birth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I thought, wow, because the idea is that when you do that kind of labor, it actually sustains life and it builds on life. Whereas everything that you get from work contributes to the destruction of the environment, to the destruction of the human body, mm-hmm. overworking and being distracted on a rat wheel. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting, but it's a very, very dense book. And I don't know. I'm not going to finish this.
It's not going to be a fast read like the rest of them. Because we're fast readers here.
No, I told you already, I'm a slow person. I read slow, I cook like slow, I like, Mom, slow and long conversations. Right. So the book is called The Human Condition. And yeah, I think it's a good read for the times that we're in, because this was written, like the thing says, in 1958 is when it first appeared, and the struggles still remain,
yeah.
What human agency versus the political agency, and how much power should the individual hand over to the collective. Okay. and so, yeah,
well, we'll be looking forward to that book review.
No, you're not. And stop with your smirk out. But anyway, I'm not you don't have to read it. It's just, if anybody listening, out it's there. A book that that is readable.
Well, then I guess
you're gonna thank me for being on the podcast.
No, I was gonna thank whoever is listening to the podcast, Mom. Make sure to, you know, find us on our social medias, on Facebook.
Are we still being on Facebook?
We just took up our change here.
It to Meta.
That. Well, we'll see if we'll stay on Facebook. But we're on Twitter.
Okay.
We're on Instagram. Gonna start hopefully soon posting, Mom, maybe start her WhatsApp stories and put them on Nuance. I think that's a great idea.
No, this I don't is still think
in the
so.
Discussion.
No, that's not gonna happen.
Still being discussed, as said. It's currently being, you know, in headquarters.
Anyway, it was great.
Yes, looking forward to, you know, hearing from you.
We're gonna start Christmas early this year.
Every you year. See that, like, that's something special that happens every Christmas. Yes, we start as soon year. As Halloween pass, you already start, you know.
Well, first of all, I don't celebrate Halloween, so I don't know what you mean, but once November comes in, I think it's always a good thing to start to just slowly put your lights up, because in these parts there is limited sun. And any spark of joy you can find, find
so
it.
So sad and depressing.
How any is it sad? No, but look, right, it's well, not I sad and depressing. It is a reflection on the reality of the season. What okay. the hell?
Well, I hope you all can find your spark of joy, wherever that may be, in the coming to, you know, dark months of winter. Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. And... hear from us soon.
Bye.
Bye.